Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 464. I am Chris, as always joined by Tony.
I'd just like to say that this podcast is a metaphor, and Jeff is a bedbug.
Oh, don't stop. My favorite story of the year.
Jeff is here.
Boo!
As well. And Earl is with us.
Howdy. I am not a bed bug.
Earl is not a bed bug.
I'm Jeff, fucking leaving this podcast. Totally How dare you call me a bed bug? That's dehumanizing.
I think I understand that this relates to our orange president.
Not even really.
Well, I mean, did comment on it.
This is like I know, and that was the best part, or one of the best parts, but like, Chris, this is some of the fun you miss by staying off Twitter.
Yeah.
So there's this columnist for the New York Times. He's like conservative. Mm-hmm. He's like a total fucking D-bag, and his name is Brett Stevens. And someone on Twitter called him a bedbug. Like they didn't even add him. They like made a joke about how he's a bedbug because I guess the New York Times had bedbugs. And they're like, this dude was like, yeah, his name is Brett Stevens. And I guess Brett Stevens is one of these. He's one of these guys, like fucking Colin Moriarty, who will fucking search his own name and like freak out on people.
Yep.
And so what he did is he emailed the dude to tell him how inappropriate it was to make that joke. And he carbon copied the dude's provost, like this professor's provost, like his boss, like with this email. So like trying to get him in trouble. And everyone, like, and so the professor just like posted the email back onto Twitter, like, look what this fucking idiot sent to me. And it like exploded. And then the next morning, Brett Stevens fucking quit Twitter.
Okay. So for some reason, I thought this related to Trump and his wanting to have G7 next year at one of his hotels.
It was a bed bug week.
That
was coincidental, but that was really funny because I think they came out like the same day.
It's so weird. But then the day after Brett Stevens quit Twitter, fucking Trump came out on the troll his ass. And it's like, the only thing I've approved that Trump's ever done in his life was make fun of this fucking idiot. And it's so good because, like, you know how much it fucking bothers the guy because clearly he can't handle it.
Now, you know? Here's the sad thing about this all. It was Tuesday and it feels like forever ago.
I know. That's a good point. I was like, there's a sad
We've had like seven scandals since then.
I know. But like that story was just like I think I put it on Twitter and like it just tickled me. I'm like, this fucking guy, like he's one of these really fucking obnoxious, kind of like right wing guys that are like, why does everyone need a safe space? And he fucking quit Twitter because someone called him a bed bug.
And then I think that everybody got in on it because I think Alejandra Ocasio Cortez.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, I mean, and it's true. Like, who doesn't have friends who make fun of them, who give them stupid nicknames? And this guy's like, I got called a bed bug and he freaks out.
I quit.
I saw her tweet. It's just funny. Like, I just thought everyone was talking about Trump.
Trump's bed bug. Yeah, like, same day.
He's angry about his bed bugs.
How on the same day are there two bed bug stories, like national bed bug stories in the news? Like, what the fuck is going on with this fucking era, dude, in this fucking year? Dear God.
I think you've just underestimated the importance of bed bugs to our economy. That's all.
Apparently. Yeah, Brett Stevens, very important.
They're our best export.
I don't know how he works for the New York Times. I mean, I know.
Well, I mean, I know
now.
How. Yeah, that's to say. Well, it's so weird because it's, and we probably cannot get too much into politics, but it's so weird because you can tell like their news team is so different from the editorial team. It is the editorial team that always makes the nonsense, and it's just like,
yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like the New York Times, I mean, they're still a great news organization. Like, I don't want them to go anywhere, but like, I don't know what's happened to them editorially. Like,
well, I think it happened to any news organization that isn't Fox is that everybody wants to be seen as fair. So everybody's like, every point has an equal value. So we need to hear it and see it. And it's like, no, some of these points are stupid as hell, and you don't need to give them a platform to discuss it. But
or to treat them as equal, you know, like Nazism is not equal to any other point of view. I'm sorry, it's just not. Like,
Or honestly, you don't, or give them this platform and not push back on it. Like, there should be, like, I hate a lot of cable news hosts who do this. It's like, they'll have somebody who spouts nonsense for 5 minutes, and it's like, oh, thank you for joining us. And then there's, like, no pushback. There's no, like, that's not correct. That's disingenuous. It's like, no, we're going to move on and pretend like this was a viewpoint that you needed to hear without question.
Yeah, it's almost as if the news media has done no soul-searching. And why? They're making money off this fucking...
Yeah, that's the problem.
Atrocity, you know?
It's a lot of the people you would want. Anyhow, we're going to move
on. That's your politics corner.
So, I am drinking this Pabst Blue Ribbon hard coffee.
PBR!
It's not good, is it?
It's not bad.
Oh.
But it's,
so it's not good.
it's a little weird. It's like when you have you guys eaten coffee ice cream, like the taste of coffee ice cream.
I love it.
So that, you know, sometimes when you like scoop out a bowl of coffee ice cream, but you're playing a game and it melts a bit too much and it becomes more like a coffee milkshake. This is like what that would be. Like, it tastes like coffee ice cream that is melted.
Oh, that sounds kind of good.
Which is surprisingly okay.
I would have thought it would have just felt like it tastes like a off-brand Guinness or something. Like,
right.
Guinness has that right. Coffee flavor to me anyways. Like, when so I used to drink it.
It does.
I don't know.
Guinness has flavor. What?
I remember, like, when I used to drink it, and this is probably 10 years ago now, like, I used to drink it kind of regularly. Like, I remember it had, like, a kind of coffee flavor to it. Am I crazy?
It's like, it's really creamy. It's a little sweet. And you still got some, like, burntness from the stout.
So this is way more sweet than that. And it's... yeah.
Coffee stouts can be pretty sweet.
Can I also say, because it's always my prerogative to say it, is that if you ever actually do have Guinness, you need to have it in actual Ireland. It's so much better there.
Yes. Like, you, like, even here, you got to get the foreign extra Guinness. You don't want like the normal.
Really? I didn't even know there. I thought Guinness was Guinness. I had no idea.
Nope.
What is nope, foreign is. Extra Guinness?
It's the ABV is a little higher. It's kind of, it's meatier. It's got like a deeper flavor.
Some heavier notes.
And Earl, it's warm in Ireland?
I don't know if it's warm, but, the two main things is that because Guinness is a heavier stout, in order for them to transport it to other countries, they do add an extra ingredient to make sure it carries. So that's why ours tends to be a bit more milkier than theirs. And two, nobody in America really knows how to pour a Guinness. Because how you pour a Guinness, because I've been to Ireland, I've been to Europe a few times. Everybody in the countries know how to pour it. You pour some of it, you make it sit for like 5 minutes to make it settle, and then you pour the rest of it. A lot of pieces here will just kind of pour it out one time.
Yeah, it is. Give you the entire
falling down.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I went to a bar this past weekend with some friends, and somebody came back with a drink that I was certain was like 30% head, and it was a Guinness, and I'm just like, that is awful. Lucky enough for them, like, the bar was like, you get this for free because you screwed up, but I'm like, that is just a terrible pour.
All right, good to know. I never would have known to ask for special Guinness or that I should be pushing them to wait 5 minutes to give me my beer.
To make sure it's a proper pour, yeah.
Yeah, I generally don't drink Guinness when I'm at, so.
I don't like American Guinness. It's one of the few things I say that makes me sound pretentious as hell. But, okay, probably not one of the few things.
One of the few.
I corrected myself.
One of the proud, one of Earl's lies.
But as somebody who's been to the actual Guinness factory,
the only proper way to drink Guinness is out of the tap at the factory.
Is that what we're calling Ireland now?
Well, I mean, there's an actual Guinness factory in Ireland. But yes, that's what we're calling it as well. Because yes, I know people in Ireland who don't even drink, and they know how to pour a proper Guinness because they were told to from a young age. So yeah, that's your Guinness pretentious hour.
All right, and our Pabst Blue Ribbon hard coffee taste test.
What do we got in the snack corner tonight? Like, what? I mean, let's just keep this going. We don't want to talk about video games, right?
What?
I mean, I have no snacks tonight.
I'm having an Imperial Pumpkin Ale. Pumpkin.
I've documented this on Twitter several times now. I've gone to my local beer stores. I've gone to the beer store I usually go to twice, and I've gone to another one. And I've been thwarted on my quest to actually get pumpkin ale. Because I guess a lot of them are starting in September, so I'll try again soon. And it's just driving me nuts because it's a very tiny window. It goes like pretty much after Halloween, pumpkin beer's gone and they start putting in the winter stuff.
This is true.
So I wanted to get ahead of it this time and get as much as I can, but nobody has them out. I went to this store today and they had three of them. I'm like, I can never make a six pack with that. I mean, I guess I could. I get two of each, but you know what I mean.
You wanted six different pumpkin beers.
Yes.
Just fair.
I tell you what happens with me and pumpkin beer is I try to do six and then like one each week with each movie so I can, you know, savor it and favor it or whatever. And this time I was like, oh, I'll just get a bunch of them and try them out throughout the course of October. But I wanted them ahead of time to make sure I had them and nobody has them. So
next week.
That's right. Next week.
I have a snack topic.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a favorite cheese spread?
Like fake cheese?
Like, you know,
is that what you're asking? Are you asking about like cheese in a can?
Not in a can. Like cheese is like you buy a little tub of it, like a little tiny little tub. You know, like a size of like a sour cream.
Like actual cheese, Jeff.
Cheese spread. Cheese spread.
Like am something I the only to fucking dip.
Fat fuck here. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
No,
yes, fatty. Yes,
on that end, yes.
Never mind. I
mean, I occasionally buy like, you know, bottled queso for nacho chips, but. Not. I know what you're talking about. It looks like it comes in the cream cheese type container, and you rip it off, and there's like cheddar and like or you know other types of flavors of cheese. Yeah, I've never had that.
Yeah, actual cheese, Jeff. Actual cheese.
Yeah, if I want cheddar, I will buy cheddar.
I mean, I have both. I have both in my fridge right now, and I will snack on like, one or the other.
I mean, you are not the only fat fuck here. I have been known to like sit down with a block of cheese and just like eat the fucking thing. Not, I will slice it. I will not just eat the block of cheese.
I think it's always better to
will. I'm pretty sure you're sitting there
cheese.
Without a knife. You're like, I wish I could slice this off, but I'm just gonna bite a big hunk out of it.
I'm extra lazy, and I'm not gonna walk and get the knife. I'm just gonna eat this hunk of cheese.
I mean, I'm not a huge like I'll eat random cheese by itself type. But I do like when we get egg crudités at work or work events and like having those with crackers and stuff like that, like the aged Gouda and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm not a cheese person.
Look at you guys I eat the Gouda. No, I'll talk about fucking fat fuck cheese.
I don't do cheese sticks. Like, I remember when I think they said to make those pull apart mozzarella sticks.
I have not had a mozzarella stick in a while. Now I want one. Thanks, Earl.
You're welcome.
You like string cheese.
Yes, there you go. Yes.
Okay. So did you guys have string cheese? Like, am I like? I feel like I'm like I just stepped on like a thing. Like I didn't realize other people didn't just eat this
Jeff,
stuff.
My 6-year-old loves string cheese. He thinks it's awesome.
Okay, so that's a thing.
Yeah, string cheese is a thing. Like, we buy them for, like, my kids take them for lunches. And, like, if there's nothing else, like, that I could find in my kitchen, my children have devoured everything else. And there's a piece of string cheese. I will grab that as a snack occasionally.
Me too. And at least to like three of them. But like, yeah, I fucking
three of them.
I swear to God, dude. That's like,
excessive.
they'll sit in the like just like Chris said, they'll like be like the last thing I go for. But then when I start eating a piece of string cheese, I'm like, fuck yeah, this is great, you know. And then I'll just like go back for more because it's the only thing in the kitchen at that point. But let me explain to you this thing called cheese spread. Like, it goes on crackers and shit.
Jeff brushes his teeth with it.
Like. I used to sell these. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what type of crackers do you have to cheat?
Well, that's what I was about to get into. Like, I used to actually, like, there's like these breadsticks you could buy at the grocery store, like just dried out.
Oh, breadsticks. They used to have that, it's like a 99 cent thing. You get like five or six like breadsticks, and it's like this weird cheddar thing that you dip
in. You open it up and.
Yes.
Is that like, what you're talking like about, Jeff?
It's like the dunkums?
No, like these are like, they're like long. They're like probably a foot long.
Are we talking about children's snacks that you put in lunches? Like, is where we're at now?
My God.
Like, yes, they're like dunkums, but they're like a foot long. They're like nice. They're like, you know, fucking from Italy and shit. They're fucking Italian breadsticks.
Oh, I don't know about
like
all
the bad book of snacks. That's what we're talking about.
But they're like, they're dried out. They're cracker like, you know, like the crunch. They like crack when you buy them.
Yeah, I get those for like, 99 cents sometimes. And it's like the little thing you. Like you put them in like your lunchbox when you're younger. It's like this little tube of cheese at the bottom.
I know the little ones you're talking.
You were talking about a bigger can of cheese spread.
It's not no. Yes, yeah. Right? Both, like a cheese spread comes in a little, like you said, cream cheese type like size.
Yeah.
And then like you buy like these foot long breadsticks. But here's the thing, those things are like hard to find now. They used to be like. I could find them in any store in the 90s. So now, what my thing is, tell me if anyone's with me on this.
Are those you fucking making like stale bread?
No, those fucking pretzel chips. Do you guys have those by you?
Oh, yeah, pretzel chips.
Oh, so you take that, you take the tub of cheese out, you gotta let it sit for like a half hour, otherwise you're gonna be like...
Otherwise it won't be gourmet, come on.
It won't be like...
Put on your little chef hat.
It's too hard, it's not pliable.
Yeah.
Like you would need to use like a knife and like nicely spread it on your fucking
snack, like why are you gonna seems like a lot of work for a snack.
Right. I don't want to get a snack out like a half hour before I'm gonna eat it. I wanna eat it now.
I mean I never do wait, but I'm just saying you're gonna be breaking chips. And but the thing, like it's amazing. I love it. But it's a good thing that you guys are not into this because, like, a tiny little tub, like, one serving is, like, pretty bad, like, a pretty bad snack, and there's, like, 14 servings in this tiny, like, so you'll eat half of, like, you'll eat six, you know, six to eight servings easily, like, it's not that big, man. It's pretty small. It's, like, a small thing of cream cheese. And right. It's still like, that's like 14 servings of this, like, thing that you're going to do two scoops and half of it almost. So, but anyways, it's bad. It's terrible for you, but it's amazing. And I'm very upset that you guys were not able to, like, help me with this cheese spread.
It sounds like we'll live longer not knowing what it's
like. But for people, if anyone is listening in the know out there, my favorite is Schuller's, but it's impossible to find. So now I go with Schulzberg out of Wisconsin.
Oh, yes, you also, yeah, I guess Wisconsin makes sense.
Closer to Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm Wisconsin light, basically.
But, yeah, I guess video games.
Yeah. So, what you guys been playing this week? Cool, all right,
what a great podcast. All right, see you guys next week.
Earl, did you get a chance to play any Devil May Cry?
No, I did not. That is on me.
No, it's fine.
It's not my fault.
It's not Tony's fault.
It's not Tony's fault. The only thing, I did start Murdered Soul Suspect.
Okay.
Just because I was like, I assume you all do this. You have PlayStation Plus or Games with Gold. Like, oh, you get these free games. You download them and they just sit in your system.
Yeah.
So I'm like, today I was like, oh, yeah, we actually go through and actually try to play one of these games that I keep on getting and downloading, it's one of those shit I get off the pot scenario where it's like, I'm either going to enjoy this or I don't need to take enough space on my hard drive. And part of it is because I was downloading Gears of War 5, and that's like 57 gigs or something like that.
Yes, it's pretty big.
So I'm like, I'm kind of enjoying it so far. I don't really know what to compare it to. I thought it was going to be like Heavy Rain. And it is in a way in that it's kind of story-driven. It's kind of a
story-driven adventure game, right?
Yeah. But there's still actual action elements.
Oh.
There's still enemies. There's stealth segments, kind of. There is, it's like detective mode in the Batman games, where it's like, it's very simple, kind of. I mean, I've really early on, but it holds your hand, and it's like, you have to solve this mini case, but we're going to tell you how many hints you need to get. And then, again, I don't know if this changes later on. I'm still really early in the game. If you screw up, we're just going to keep on letting you go until you get it right. Like, one of the first things you do is you have to possess a woman and get her to talk about one of the clues she found to a police officer, so it triggers another memory. And I already picked everything but the right answer into the very end. And the game's like, no, you keep going. You keep going. You got this, sweetie. And I'm just like, okay. Like, again, because it has like a thing at the bottom where it's like three guesses. I thought it would be three and done. It's like, nope. Just keep on going.
Just keep going until you get it.
Yeah.
Huh. That's one that's been sitting on my hard drive for a while, too.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to stick with it, because like right now I'm not finding it that interesting. Like right now you're trying to solve the murder of yourself, which makes sense based on the title. But like, it's not really. It's like I played maybe 40 minutes of it, but it's not like grabbed me with this big hook yet. It's like I know who you don't know who killed you, but you saw that somebody killed you. Because they push you out of a window, and then you're kind of still alive. So the person comes and shoots you three times in the chest, mm-hmm. and then you're dead. And then it's like, okay, like, I know somebody killed me. There's not a mystery here. It's just figuring out who. And I guess why, but if they killed me, I don't really care why.
Yeah. Well, I'll be interested to hear if you stick with it and if it gets any more interesting.
I will be honest with you. I'm not going to stick with it. Astro Train unlocks in 40 minutes. And then by the time this reroll around next week, Gears of War is going to be unlocked.
Yeah, so not much reason to go back. But at least you can clear off that hard drive space.
Yeah, yeah. That and Prison Architect, because I tried to pay that today. And for some odd reason, the download was corrupted. And I'm like, okay, you're off the system. Like, you had your one shot and you screwed it up.
That's fair. I mean, we have so many games. They give us,
two.
Like, Sony's giving free games a month, and Xbox is four. So,
yeah. There's
six free games that, like.
Though, I like Sony, and I think you can kind of do this with Microsoft. I think that Sony's realized what people did, and it's just like, you can just put this game in your library.
Yeah.
You don't have to download it, where Microsoft is kind of like, yeah, you have to download it. You can stop it right away and just, it's then part of your collection.
Yes.
Forever.
Yes. Speaking of which, the games, PlayStation Plus games for September seem pretty good. I think it's Batman Arkham Knight and Darksiders 3.
Yes.
I want to play that. Has anyone played that game?
Nope.
I have not.
I know it's different from the first two. I forgot what they said it was like, but I know it's just not like the first two were just kind of like Zelda, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like Zelda. I mean, they were Zelda.
Yeah, I think this one's
first one very much.
I think the third one is more of just like a general, like, third-person action, kind of like Diablo-ish game. But, none of us played it, right?
No.
Yeah, it's crazy. I would like to play that game, though, actually, but not going to pay for it.
Do you have Plus or no Plus anymore?
I don't even have a PlayStation. My friend has it.
Fair enough. Do you have Plus, though? Like, is it part of your...
No, how though?
Okay. Because if you did, you don't even have to.
I let mine expire. I never played a single one of the games that came on it. I never played multiplayer. Like, what is this even for?
I don't play my PlayStation, like, or at least when I had it, I don't play it outside of, like, Uncharted or whatever, like, or Bloodborne, you know what I mean? Like, a big PlayStation exclusive Spider-Man, you know?
Right.
Other than that, I don't play it. Like,
I did download, what was that, the Quantic Dream one? Dreams? Was that not Dreams?
Detroit
Beyond Human. Beyond Detroit, that is it. Beyond Human or Become Human?
Become Human.
Yes. I downloaded that. I want to play that. I know I probably will not enjoy it, but...
You downloaded Detroit? Is Detroit free?
It was free last month.
I've actually heard like mixed things. I've heard some people like really like it, you know.
I mean, you hear mixed things about David Cage games in general.
Yeah,
true. That's totally true. I like Indigo Prophecy.
And I liked Heavy Rain at the time. I don't think returning to it is good, but
I think Heavy Rain's interesting enough. I think the problem with Heavy Rain was the expectations and the way that people kind of brought up like the writing and how it was evolving the industry. Like, if you kind of take it as like a B movie suck, it's fine. It's when you're trying to say like, oh, this is evolving game writing and storytelling in the industry. It's like, no, it's not.
I mean, looking back on the game, I'd have to totally agree with you, Earl. Like, you nailed it. Like, if you look at it like, as like this pulpy, just kind of fun like story, like it's fine, but like. It wasn't what it was being hailed as at the time.
It was a fun adventure game set in a very fake version of Philadelphia.
Right, and the most innovative thing about that game ended up being the control scheme, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily like anything about the writing or storytelling or anything like that. It was like how the controls actually felt like visceral and realistic. And
yeah, because you were contextually pressing buttons to interact with the environment as
opposed to just...
in an example that no one has followed, so it didn't change the industry at all.
Right. Go ahead, Earl.
I was gonna say it's always fascinating things that you think would stick that don't. I think we mentioned this on the show recently. But I'm always surprised by the facial technology and L.A. Noir not really becoming a thing.
We're back to L.A. Noir.
I'm still talking about it.
We're still talking about it. The industry isn't. I just remember that game, 2010, whenever it came out.
Yeah.
I was like, the game itself is whatever, but I feel like that facial technology, being able to like actually recognize facial emotions and tics in somebody's face, would become a thing that would drive the industry for the next generation. And it's like, nope.
Yeah.
Or like the Nemesis system in...
somebody brought that up recently. I'm surprised did not take off. Because the Nemesis system seems like a really good kind of gameplay loop to kind of get people engaged and come. It's kind of like checking in town in Animal Crossing. Like, it doesn't do a lot, but it's always making you want to try checking every day. I'm actually surprised that Crackdown didn't do something like that.
Didn't Assassin's Creed Odyssey have something similar to the Nemesis system?
There's this like ladder of mercenaries.
Yeah.
Where you can fight them over and over. But the thing is, you fight them and kill them, and then it's over. They're gone.
Okay.
It's not like this motherfucker.
Wasn't like you defeated them, and then they come back, and
right,
they're better and have a new strength.
Right.
That you need to figure out
how
to beat.
Now, they're all like, they all do have like some sort of strength or weakness or whatnot. And you do have to like hunt them down. But it's not, there's not near the depth of like a
this ongoing battle that you're having with the same character over and over.
Right. No. You kill them once, you kill them dead, you don't have to worry about them anymore.
Those two games are like two perfect examples of games that like you thought were more important at the time, you know. But I don't know. I'm kind of with Earl though that like especially the facial like shit I thought would be a bigger thing going forward.
I think you know they've just found different ways to do realistic face tech.
I mean, like some of the games that come out now do look a million times, I think, better in some ways than that. Like some of the stuff, like you know, like, if you, like Last of Us 2 is going to look almost like a movie, you know. But I mean, you think like in terms of the facial capture shit they do is like it's not even more advanced than Alarm.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure it is.
Like if you're talking about like Carrie Fisher at the end of Rogue One, maybe.
Almost looks like a movie. I hear you. No, but I'm meaning. I don't know. I do think that like the, I mean, L.A. Noire is still like kind of so impressive that when you go back and look, it has like that uncanny valley thing still. But I do think that like just like the cutscenes in general now, I don't care if they ever look better than they do, but. I guess like L.A. Noire made it part of the gameplay too, like you're reading the faces and shit.
Yeah, yeah. But and that's what I that meant. It's like actually yeah. using that, because I thought I, you know, like we were talking before the show about eco dramas. I thought that would kind of be spearheading the whole kind of like young order video game genre popping up, where it's like true crimes and stuff like that, and that just never really happened.
It. We're closing the podcast down. We are going to set up a facial recognition and just start making legal dramas.
I mean, I think that like the like kind of adventure games, like you know, the Telltale games and shit like that, kind of like filled that slot. But like, I get what you're saying. I would like it to be more, yeah, like detective procedural shit. Like that'd be awesome, like, man.
To like Homicide, Life on the Streets,
or like I mean I know there's that Ace, whatever that like lawyer
Ace
game
attorney, yeah.
But I would like something more that's like fucking L.A. Noir, like you're watching like a fucking classy drama, like you know what I mean, like not
yeah,
like
the Phoenix Wright series works, but that's kind of like an anime compared to like an actual. You know, like true crimes, not true crimes, American crimes, the O.J. Simpson story that they had to ask you on FX. Like,
dude, there are those two. A Few Good Men, the game. I would fucking play the shit out of that. Take Jessup down.
But yeah, stuff like that where I do think that they're, you know, especially in a time frame where we're so hung up on violence and video games, I'm surprised that there aren't more games that are like, there are other ways to interact that might be interesting. And I do think something like that, piecing together a case, could be that way. But it's like, who's going to throw money behind that?
Yeah, it's like, there's only a few people doing that shit. And like Quantic Dreams, it's like, I don't know, man. I haven't played the newest one, but like I think they're kind of very hit or miss. And I get a lot of the criticism leveled at them. Like I'd like to see. That's the thing. That would be maybe one of those mid tier games that we don't get.
Yeah. All right. So Murdered Soul Suspect.
That's what we're talking about. Yes.
Oh my god! That
was like 2 hours ago, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure.
Prison Architect. You didn't get to try anything else from this week.
I tried more Slay the Spire. I've noted that before. I really love that game. I think it's a Game Pass game if you want to check it out. So that's it's fantastic. I'm really enjoying it.
I actually just installed it. I really need to play it now.
Yes. It's really fun. It's such a simple roguelike that I just find myself going back to. Because I feel like it's one of those roguelikes where I don't feel like it's ever really unfair. Where some of them, I feel like you have to either memorize it, or you just have to, like, it just wants you to keep on going and going and going and going until, like, you've ran through it like a dozen times to get the some good equipment that you can finally make a run that you can beat. With this one, like even on my first go on my system, I got to the final boss. Now it was a cheap ass final boss because I defeated them. And then they were like, oh yeah, we have a whole second form, which is a whole new XP. And I'm like, there's no way to heal in this game. So I had to take this boss down. And now I have to fight again with like half my health. And that did not go off. I tried my best.
You failed.
The Power Rangers Legendary Battle, or whatever the fighting game is called, updated this week.
Oh, Game of the Year.
Game of the Year. It added Chapter 3 of the story mode. So okay. I don't... Yeah, it's really weird how this whole thing has kind of rolled out. It, you know, the initial game came out in April. Didn't have a story mode. Then they rolled out the story mode in like May or June. And I played through it and it just kind of like stopped. And I thought I did something wrong. Like I went back like two or three times. Like, did I miss how to continue this game and stuff? I guess they just didn't. So they updated with Chapter 3 this week. And if I'm playing through that, it is fascinating to see that you could tell they were working with a limited budget. Because in Chapter 3, I've had a lot of encounters, which is just like, you're these two or three characters fighting these two enemies. And then the next battle will be you being the other team, fighting the team you just beat, the team you just were. And it's just like, this isn't really storytelling. This is you folks just kind of being like, no, we didn't lose. We're going to win this time, and we're going to win by paying, having you pay the actual people who are supposed to win this time. I'm just like, awkward, because just did this fight, and I feel like I'm beating up myself.
Maybe you are.
Maybe I am. And it's also weird, because they made a big point about getting some of the original voice cast back, which is nice, but then like, part of the start of this chapter is a big speech by a ranger who clearly is not the original voice actor, and I'm just like, if you're going to get original voice actors back, why not have one of them be the person who gives this big speech? That is really the only voice dialogue in this kind of chapter instead of a sound like.
I think you could probably do better.
You could, but I mean, I'm a Power Rangers fan. It was free. it's kind of fun to play through, you know, it's a good, you know, before work game, I can play half an hour.
Bounce in and out of it.
Yeah, and no expectations.
Yeah. Anything else?
We talked about Gears before. I think I played something on my PlayStation or what? And more Gears pop. That was the other thing. So I got to level 2. I unlocked my can. I did not join anybody's can yet. I'm kind of getting the hang of the game now. And it's a decent enough game for a hoop. But yeah. It's also really weird the things they adapted for mobile. Like, when you win battles, you get loot boxes.
Yeah.
But the loot boxes are put on timers.
Yeah. Which
I don't get.
No, and you can only have 4 at a time. So it's like, all right,
why would I pay 1 of 4 matches?
not going to play anymore right now for the next 6 hours.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. And then, like, the level up system is weird. Because, like, in other mobile games do similar. But what they do where it makes more sense. Where with this one, you level up characters based on how many times you get them in a loot box. So like you say, like there's certain characters that like you need to get them 10 times in order to level them up to level 2. And it's like, okay, but it's a random level in. So like, I don't know how this is fair. Where like
So like then, and then that actually ties into your level because you level up, you know, your characters individually. And then every time you level them up, it gives you experience to your your individual level. Like, yes. I don't understand. It's weird.
Yeah, that I did not get, because like you would think that your level would be tied to how you're doing game. So I kept on playing online. I'm like, my level is not going up. And then I discovered it's based off the level of the actual figures improving and not necessarily yourself.
Yep.
So that means you can level up without actually putting the game.
Yeah, you could spend like $100 and level yourself up to max level.
Yeah, which, I mean, good for you for spending that money, but it doesn't necessarily, like, I've gotten my butt kicked a few times, but it's helped me understand kind of some of the mechanics and some of the pairings of the game. Like, you put out, like, a big, I forget what the big dudes are called, they're just kind of
across the butchers, the one with the big machetes, yeah.
You put out the butchers, and then you put out, like, the little grunts behind them, because, like, the butchers is just going to, make forward progress, but they will come up and kind of pick at the enemies, focusing on the butcher. And it's one of those things, like, okay, that's a strategy, and it kind of works. And you throw out grenades ahead of time to kind of clear out any opposition that you can,
yep.
And stuff like that. But if you just kind of buy your way to victory, it's like, you may not
learn.
You don't
learn those tactics.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that does seem to be where I'm going to hit a wall with it, is at some point you're going to need to, you need to get coins to upgrade your characters. And if you're playing against people that have upgraded characters, regardless of whether they're tactically better than you or not, if they have a better Marcus Fenix than you do, it's going to take your Marcus Fenix down quicker,
yeah,
or your other characters. And the coin amount that you need once you start getting to higher levels on some of this stuff is ridiculous. So like if you get Marcus, he is an epic character. To upgrade him to level 2, you need to get 4 Marcus Fenix cards and then 4,000 coins to upgrade him.
Oh.
And then that increases at the next level. So you need more Marcus cards, more Marcus. Or whatever. And then like 6,500 coins. So it gets like very expensive coin wise. So it's almost like, oh, well, we're going to give you these like little gems that's the currency you can buy coins with. But you're not getting them at such a rate that you're going to be able to buy anything.
Yeah.
So I did buy like whatever the welcome pack was, for like $6. And so I was able to upgrade like a bunch of my characters, but now I'm out of coins again and I'm not going to spend more money.
Yeah. And then there's not a lot of ways to, I mean, I guess there's Horde. But that's not because it's a PvP game. There's not a lot of things for you to kind of grind money on. You could do the tutorial, but there's like a training ground,
mm-hmm.
that there's certain missions that you do. But again, even that has a finite amount of stuff you can do.
Yeah, there's only like 8 or 9.
I don't think it gives you coins. It gives you the other stuff.
So it gives you... It depends on which one it is. And they're not all available at once either. So,
no, you have to beat one at a time.
Yeah. It's like some give you the gems, some give you coins. And then if you do the daily quest, you get like 50 coins, which is nothing. Like that's like the daily. Go ahead.
The one thing I have not been able to figure out, what does the cogs do?
That is your ranking. To compare it to like Dr. Mario, like when you play versus there, like you have a ranking number and you gain like X amount of points every time you beat somebody, or you lose X amount of points when you lose. That's how it's doing matchmaking. So
okay.
And so if you are under 300 cogs, you are in arena 1. And then once you get over 300, you'll get promoted to arena 2, which is, it'll match you with people that are between 300 and 600. And then that keeps growing, I think, all the way up until like you get to Arena 5, I believe, and then it starts going into like competitive leagues. From what I've read, like there are 5 arenas, and then there's like a bronze league and a silver league and a gold league, and so that the cogs though are basically your rank, but they don't mean anything other than that.
Okay.
So
I was just wondering because I know you get them from battles, and I didn't see any practical usage for them, but that's good to.
Yeah. Tony, you play more Age of Empires?
So I'm almost done with the tutorial.
Oh no.
I'm on the last. There's 9 different missions for the tutorial.
It's long. I started playing
it. I'm on the last one. Yeah, it's so long. I'm so close to finishing. I will finish. I was waiting to see what the quests were for this week before I started playing, because it's obviously a Game Pass game, so rewards tend to focus on those games.
Yeah.
They just added it, so I'm like, you know, maybe this is going to be worth some rewards points if I wait, and it ended up not being worth anything. Makes me sad. But I am very close to the end of the tutorial, and then I'll be able to play the game for real, I hope.
Yeah, I did look at the achievement list. Right? I started playing it as well, but I looked at the achievement list and like there are like ones like where defeat X amount of enemies, but it's like right. Defeat like 5,000 enemies.
Like, defeat 5,000 enemies.
Like maybe you get to that by the end of completing all the different campaigns, but
right. Some of them are easier. Collecting the wood,
yeah,
is a bit easier. Building, what is it, axemen? Like you could some of them are doable.
Yeah.
And of course there's a bunch of, you know, complete this campaign ones.
Yeah, all of the campaigns seem to have one tied to it.
Yeah.
I saw that tutorial though is brutal.
It's bad. It's ancient. It's like I can demonstrate only one mechanic per tutorial, which is completely not true.
Right, yeah, it's like, all right, well, we're going to show you how to farm, and so here's your objective, like, farm enough so you get 800 food, and then find this spot on the map. It's like, what?
Yeah, there's literally one, just walk a guy to these 4 spots on the map, and you win. Like, what is this?
Woo!
Like, point and click? What are you teaching me here?
It's hard to like, and so I guess I never actually played the original Age of Empires. My experience with Age of Empires was Age of Empires 2. And that's such a better game just right off the bat.
Yeah.
Like the tutorial makes more sense. It's teaching you more things. It's not treating you like you're a complete idiot, which I feel that this tutorial is doing.
Now, to be fair, this is for like the first game of this kind ever, right?
Right.
So they just haven't changed it though, because you know lots of people have played these kind of games now. It's not something you need to like teach someone the very very basics of.
Yeah, they could have like maybe reworked that and just kind of tightened it up a little bit. Like you could teach us how to walk and chop wood in the same one. And maybe also how to build a farm. You play anything else this week?
More Madden. It's
Madden.
Yeah, it's Madden. I can't really say anything awesome about it.
That's good to hear.
I can say some things that are very good. Would you like me to talk about it more, Earl?
Nope.
I feel like that was a request.
We're good.
I played some Devil May Cry 5. Not played some. I finished it.
Oh, okay.
I am
played all of Devil May Cry 5.
I played all of Devil May Cry 5. I am perplexed by the amazing scores that game got.
Thank you.
It is fine. It is not a like.
It's like a 7. Like it,
yes, yeah. It's a 6 or a 7. Like it is a good game. It is not this like. To me, like when you score something a 9, like which is what that game got, I think it's like holding like an 89 rating or something. across all the like, I don't know. I think that's like an exceptionally great game. Like a play, it's good. It is unashamed of being what it is, which is just a fucking video game. Like nothing more than that.
Can you see why I like don't really remember it? Like it wasn't like...
Yeah. It's like not that, very memorable.
Like that type of game, like for me has to be like really, really good for me to like care about it at all, honestly.
And I think it starts off really well. I think the first two chapters are great.
Yeah, you're right.
And then like you start getting into environments that are less detailed. Like they're cool enough, but they all kind of look like you're traveling inside an esophagus or something. Like it's like something out of Inner Space. Like it's this very organic looking like tunnels and shit like that. Whereas like the opening areas were way more fascinating, I think.
I remember it starting with like a couple like kind of hugely insane fun bosses and just being like, okay, this is gonna be that. It's gonna be like another like, but like it just went flat. Like again, not bad, but it was just like after the first hour or two, I was just like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Like I really kind of regretted spending as much as I did.
It's fine, and it was funny because like I mean, I knew exactly what was happening. Like that, there's supposed to be this surprise twist, right? And it's like, no, like all of this is choreographed, and it's all out there in the open. If you know anything about Devil May Cry, you know exactly where this story is going and how it's going to get there. And it's like it just falls a little flat for me. Like, I don't know. I'm just like surprised that people were like, oh, this is definitely a game of the year contender. Like, okay.
I feel like it's a twofold thing where it was, well, threefold. One, it came out in like January.
Yeah.
There was enough in the year where it's like, there's not a lot of competition. So everything's a game of the year contender. I think for a lot of people, it was a return to form. I know there's a huge contender of people who don't like DMC.
Yeah.
I believe the rule of thumb with Devil May Cry is that the odd number ones are the good ones. So Devil May Cry 4 probably wasn't well received.
It was okay. I think this is better than 4.
And I think ultimately there is like no other game in the market. Like there are character action games and they don't play the same as Devil May Cry. So it's hard to compare.
Right, I guess like Bayonetta is like the next closest thing to it.
I would rather play Bayonetta 3. Give me that. Give me Bayonetta 2. Fuck it. I'd rather play that.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Devil May Cry. I don't think it's gonna knock your socks off if you haven't played it yet, but it's fine. And I played about an hour of Control. The new Remedy game.
About this.
So, I don't know what the fuck this game is. It is a third person shooter. Like mechanic wise, it is a third person shooter. You shoot
third persons.
Yes. you shoot at enemies. Like you have a gun and you shoot at them. But everything going on around this is so fucking weird. The main character is like talking to herself, but I think she's talking to me, like me, the person controlling her.
Is the video game talking to you, Chris?
Yes. Yes, it is. I don't get it. I don't. It
sounds perfectly sane.
Yes. No, nothing about this game is sane. But I'm fascinated to like continue going on with it. So basically where I'm at is you take, I forget what the main character's name was, so that's not a great sign. But she shows up at this place called the Federal Bureau of Control. Nobody is around except for a weird creepy janitor guy. And So you're exploring this office building where there's nobody except this janitor who tells you to get on the elevator. You end up outside the director's office. He has been shot, which you as the player have seen previously in a cutscene that he shot himself. And your character picks up this gun, and then she is transported to like an astral plane where they do a tutorial on how to use the gun. And you are now the director of this Federal Bureau of Control. I don't know what that means. I don't know where this is going. Like, you meet up with this lady very early on. She's wearing this chest piece that looks like it's a speaker that she says protects her from the Hiss, which is like the enemy that is controlling things inside this building. I don't know. Like, the main character keeps talking to you, like the player itself, and it's a weird fucking thing. I'm fascinated to see where it goes, though. And this is like the weirdest thing I've like the it's a AAA game. It's just amazing that they fucking found funding to make such a weird thing. I know I did not sell anybody on this game talking about that.
I'm kind of interested in it, like, based on like what you've said, and I've seen a couple people say, like, I'm not gonna buy it right away or anything, but I'd be interested to hear like what you say when you've like gotten, you know, it sounds like you're not like really that far yet, you know.
No, I'm like an hour in, and that's like through the first mission of the game. So like there's obviously way more to it. I hope it's not over in like 4 hours. It's just these weird like little missions in this office building. But I don't know. I'm fascinated by it, and I'm glad that like Remedy is still making weird shit and putting it out there. Because we don't get like weird games. Like most of the time they're just super safe, and this one, it is not a super safe game in any capacity.
So like just based off of your first like, you know, setting or whatever with it, like, do you feel like it's a game like you're gonna stick to, like that's all you're gonna be playing for like the next week, or like do you feel like hooked yet like that or no?
I'm hooked that I will continue playing it like on a regular basis. It will not be the only game I play over the next week or so. There's so much coming out tomorrow.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Insane. What the next few weeks offers.
Yeah. And then like years next week. Like, yeah, it's like crazy, but it is definitely one I am going to, like, I'm happy I bought it, even though I'm only an hour in. Like, that could change, I guess, but my first impression of it is like, yeah, this was worth $60. Like,
I've heard people say that it opens up later on, so okay. I mean, as far as like getting better, so I'm curious to hear your impressions next week.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when I hear them, like literally a week from now, Gears of War 5 would be unlocking for Game Pass.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, so, I mean, it may not work for you. Like, it might be a game you come back to, though, at Black Friday.
Yeah, I was going to do Man of Medan.
Medan.
It got mixed reviews. I'm like, yeah, that's got to be going to be a game that's like $5-$10 come Black Friday. I can wait until then. And I was kind of the same with Astral Chain, but I'm like, I'll get that and see about that. But yeah, it's that time of the year now where you just kind of start making those fit decisions where it's like, what's going to be the 2-for-1 on Target sale, and yeah, what's going to be like Black Friday?
I'm actually really excited for Black Friday this year because I've skipped so many games. Like, I'm just like, nah, I'm not going to get that. I'm not paying $60 for that. So yeah,
in some cases I'm happy that I haven't, right? Like Devil May Cry, I'm glad I did not pay $60 for that and that I got to play it through Game Pass.
Yeah. Like that, I think like one of the last ones I bought was $60 was probably, well, no, actually I did buy Mario, but
and Marvel.
Oh yeah, Marvel. That was the last one I paid $60 for. That one I do not regret it at all. But
Mario you do.
I bought both of those for full price, but since I was doing the voucher program, I don't feel, I mean, because technically speaking, I got like, because it's what, $10 saved on each game.
I got credit, yeah, I did like, the same.
I got the credit like 15% off. So it worked out in the grand scheme that I ended up paying like $40 per game.
I'm really pissed because I was going to do the same thing with Zelda and Luigi's Mansion, but like they ended it like, I probably could have bought the voucher like a day or two before, you know, but then like, I didn't know it was the thing that was ending. That like made me so mad, dude.
It's so weird that it's a thing that has a finite ending, because it seemed like something they could have written through the end of the year. End of the year, but
it should be a practice going forward. That's guaranteed sales, dude.
It's Nintendo.
I don't know. I think it was a really smart idea. I thought it was something that would like take off and they would stick with it. And it was like, no, it was like a 2-month promotion. Okay.
It sounds like it'll probably be something they bring back every once in a while, though.
I think it's a great idea. Like it's a committed sale, dude. It's worth, you know, these are digital sales too. So it's, I think it's totally worth it. Like,
But I also thought it would be great to bring back the digital promotion they had on the Wii U, and that never came back. So.
Yep. Yeah, I am going to buy Man of Medan, even if it is probably going to be $5 by Black Friday.
Yeah. Well, here's the fun thing is I have a friend I want to pay with, so I got them it as a gift. But when I saw the reviews that I'm like, I'm going to wait. So I tried to cancel it from Amazon. Amazon has it for $25 right now.
Okay.
And Amazon's like, oh, it's too late to cancel. I'm like, God damn it. So my friend, she'll be getting their copy tomorrow, but I will not be around to play with them, so.
Well done.
Yeah.
So that's all I've been. Jeff, you play anything? Besides The Sims? Besides killing, like, your little people?
I mean, I can give you a slight update on The Sims.
I want an update. Did the ghost and your new person fall in love?
And did I banished the ghost. But
I saw a fire.
Yeah, that was just a random thing that happened.
He said it so cavalier too.
But I did like so. My character was like starting to get old or whatever, and I was like, I want to have a kid, like, so I could like continue with this household or whatever. And I guess once you're like a senior citizen, you can't have kids anymore. You still fuck. Shocking. You can still fuck, but you can't have kids. And so I was like, I thought like, oh, well, this is gonna be game over. I'm like, that sucks. And then I was like,
could you adopt somebody?
That's when I started thinking, can you? And I was like, I forgot. I was like, I checked a couple different things and like, you know, like I checked my phone. Like there was no way to adopt on there. And I was like, oh, let me check on the computer. And I, one of the tabs, I found like, you could adopt a kid. So I got like a new, like, I have a kid now. So now my house could continue. And like, I just realized like, I never, like, the way I always played Sims is I would like play through my life and I would die. And once I died, I was like, all right, well, I guess that's the end of the game. But like, no, I could actually just, like, keep this family going, and like, I know I'm probably explaining the most obvious thing ever here, but like, I could like keep building this house, and I'm gonna have a fucking mansion eventually. And so, I think I'm gonna keep playing Sims, man.
All right, so we'll continue to have Jeff's weekly Sim update.
I mean, yeah, I probably have a fun little story here and there if I keep playing. I'm sure some game will come along and like knocks my socks off, and that's it.
Zelda's here in like
Exactly. But I also tried Void Busters, which I think I remember hearing from one of you guys. Like, did any of you guys play that game?
So I have played a little bit of it. Pete played all the way through it, and he probably talked about it like the one time he was on the show this year.
What did you think of it?
It's cool.
It's neat. It's, you know.
It's an interesting.
Did he say he was going to be on tonight? Where is that bastard?
He did. He went to sleep.
Where are his priorities?
I guess in his bed. I don't
know. He was, yes.
Excuse me?
He was sick. He's recovering. Yes.
something.
He said Void Bastards was short. I have not played enough of it to know how short it is.
So I looked that up, and it said it was around 8 hours on that, like, how long to beat site or whatever.
Yeah. That's not short.
I mean, I just, I don't know if you saw my response to him. I was just like, I've never beaten a game like this, so I don't know. Like, I understand, like for instance, Dead Cells, like, one playthrough that could be, I don't know, an hour, right? Or whatever.
Well, so I think what the difference in this, and at least from what I played of it, is that you are trying to find X amount of stuff, right, to react to your ship or whatever.
It has a pretty strong feel of progression.
Yeah, so like as you find it, like that saves, and then even if your character dies, like you still have that piece already, so you don't have to find it again. So it's not like you're starting over each time.
True, because there's all these different paths, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, I guess it doesn't. Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. You know, it's cool. It's like, you know, to have that type of game and a first person shooter that looks like a comic book, like it's a neat idea. You know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I will beat that game, but I have like started, like I've unlocked a decent amount of shit now, you know? And that's kind of how you feel. Like you're like, all right, yeah, like even more so than like Dead Cells, you feel like you're making progress in this by getting these items, like, and they're very helpful on top of it, you know.
Right.
So yeah, I dig it, dude. Like I haven't played a ton of it, but what I've played, I get kind of sucked in every time I play it, you know? I'm kind of impressed by it.
I want to go back and play a little bit more of that. And I want to try out the other game that kind of came out around the same time as Void Bastards, Outer Wilds?
I tried to play that, and I couldn't get into that, but I heard it's, you know, it's amazing. But
I keep on confusing it with that other game.
Outer Worlds, right?
Which, I'm all over that. I'm getting that.
Outer Worlds is the Obsidian game, right?
Yep.
Am I getting that right?
Yep.
Is that coming to Game Pass too?
It is.
Cool.
It is?
Yep.
Don't pre-order it.
It's coming to Game Pass. Don't do it. It's free.
You're sure this is confirmed news?
It is confirmed news.
Wow. That's awesome.
Not that fake news.
No, not the kind you get from like CNN or MSNBC.
So it's like
the kind you get from Fox. Okay, is that kind
well?
Of
Fox News is also fake news.
Except today, right? Yeah. Now Fox News is bad as well. They stopped working for Trump. They stopped.
There's evidently no news that's not fake news anymore. All right. Well, I think that's everything we've been playing. There's a little bit of news out there that Earl has compiled.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Yes. News.
I like that Earl brings his own song for news, too. It's great.
But yes,
what do we got here?
We got news. They're multiplying. And, okay. So we can tell when I've been drinking way too much. It's very easy. I guess the big story this week is kind of Telltale being resurrected. So from what I understand, is like a private financial organization has purchased the branding of Telltale,
yes,
the name and the organization. But it's not like, you know, all the staff has been let go of. So from what I understand, it's like some of the who will be bought on as consultants and writers, but they're not full time staff,
right?
And I don't know how to react yet because it does not make any sense. Because Telltale was a brand, yes. It made a specific type of game, yes, but I don't think the name is what got people through the door, and I feel like everybody in the industry knows that this isn't Telltale, so I don't see a lot of people falling for this, and most importantly, they didn't have any IP. They worked with other companies.
Yeah, outside of, what was it, Puzzle Agent was, I think, their only real...
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
It was they released this game called Puzzle Agent somewhere in between after The Walking Dead. it's like the only real IP that they had that was theirs, though.
Yeah, so you buy the name, you're going to have to go through of hiring a new staff, and yeah, like you, are you going to go out of your way to get these license holders again? Are, you know, Warner Brothers and DC, are Image Comics, is HBO going to want to partner up with you again?
Right, well, so The Walking Dead is out. Skybound, which is Kirkman's company.
Comic book company, yeah.
They now own the rights to make games for The Walking Dead.
Ooh.
And they're the ones that released the final season of The Walking Dead, the Telltale one that they hired on the Telltale staff that was working on The Walking Dead and released that game. So they don't, that's not coming back. It's the other one. And Stranger Things, which was supposed to be coming out sometime after The Walking Dead, the final season, that reverted to Netflix. And my guess is all of those other licenses, Batman, Tales of the Borderlands, Game of Thrones, Guardians of the Galaxy,
Fable.
That all reverted back when the company went bankrupt. Like,
yeah, I would imagine like it dissolves any legal standing.
Right,
the company did not exist.
Like, evidently, this new company has the right to resell those old games, so like they can make a profit off of the old games, but. I mean, they'd have to go out and relicense to make new ones. Like, people are like, oh, we're going to get the Wolf Among Us Season 2. Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. And, I mean, I am not going to claim to be a business expert or a video game publisher. But I'm almost certain that if the company that released all these games went out of business, re-releasing them isn't going to be your bottom line right now.
Right.
So, what is their strategy? Because even, okay, like, say they focus on original IPs, like, the biggest hurdle from without the IPs is going to be that the engine was not that great. Like, really, you'd have to
garbage.
Yes. You'd have to scrap it and actually come up with something that's playable for the majority of your games now.
So, what I do know from that is that the Walking Dead, the final season, was supposed to be the last game that used that engine. They were working on a new engine in Unity. So I wonder if when they bought everything, if they got that access. So maybe they have the new engine. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? It's a weird situation. But it's made all the weirder by people's reactions to it. You know, there are people celebrating. And then there's people who are just people. Let's go with that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm very skeptical of it myself. It seems weird to be celebrating, like, the return of a corporate entity.
Right?
Yeah, it's like, crap, what is that? There was it's Atari. Like, Atari, that name gets bought out like every few years, and then it gets smashed in a headline that so and so now owns Atari. Where Atari literally is just a name now. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
Didn't that happen with like THQ as well, kinda? Like,
yeah, THQ Nordic. Well, they were just Nordic Games, right, Tony? Is that accurate?
Yeah.
And now they're just THQ, I think. I think they even stripped the Nordic from their name.
No, I think they're still THQ Nordic.
Are they? Okay.
But,
you don't see the Nordic around that often now, though.
You don't see it. I think that's still their title, but I think they refer to themselves as THQ, but it is THQ Nordic. But I feel like that's even slightly different. It's an interesting case. I think it's different because THQ does bring a certain level of chaos with it because it was such a big publisher. At the same time, I hear THQ and I don't really think of anything.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I mean, I think SpongeBob.
Red Faction, baby.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but like I associate that more with like Volition, who I guess is now owned by THQ Nordic, so.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like there's a lot of games they publish now, and they published a ton of games back then, but it was like outside of like for me for the WWE games, there wasn't a ton of like, oh, yes, THQ.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. Whole thing's strange.
Life is strange.
Life is strange.
That is sadly not a segue to a Life is Strange story. It just sounds like a good thing to say.
We're coming off an adventure game company revival.
But from revival to remaster, we are getting Aladdin and the Lion King collection from Disney this year, which, if I'm okay, so this has the Super Nintendo and Genesis and I think Game Gear versions of Aladdin, and then
so is the Super Nintendo version confirmed for Aladdin in this collection? When I was reading it, when Jeff told me about it yesterday, Jeff, is that right?
Yeah.
When Jeff told me about it, I read the only said the Genesis version of it, because the Super Nintendo version is a completely different game.
Yeah, they both are.
They both are. Okay.
But I don't... Sure. Okay.
Look at the trailer, because like the trailer even like left me wondering.
Okay.
It just said multiple versions of games. It did not specifically say... I don't know, dude. I'm scared.
I mean, don't be scared. If the Genesis version is the only one on there, that's the only one you need.
Okay, Aladdin will be the Game Boy and Genesis version, and then Lion King will be the Genesis, Super Nintendo, and Game Boy
version. The Genesis and Super Nintendo version of the Lion King, basically the same game.
No, I think they're also different games. I think they're also Capcom and Virgin Interactive, I think.
No, I just played them.
Oh, okay.
And The Lion King, I believe, is Capcom only.
Like, that's the one they should have just picked a version. They should have picked, like, Sega or Nintendo. And then the other one should have had both versions. You know what I mean? It's like a weird choice, like, the way they did that, you know?
Yeah, so... Yes, the Lion King was... There is a Super Nintendo version and a Genesis version, and they were developed by Westwood Studios and published by Virgin Interactive. Now, if there may be another Lion King version, but the two versions I have are near identical.
Okay.
Aladdin, completely different, though.
So that's what I'm saying. Why are we getting two versions of Lion King? And then, you know, just one version of 16-bit Aladdin.
I could be wrong.
Like, it's bullshit.
I could be wrong, but I think it's because the Super Nintendo version of Aladdin is from Capcom, and they probably didn't want to pay them any for the
game. who is releasing this?
I think it's Sega.
Okay, so it's not Capcom is not the one. Disney is releasing this.
Yeah, I think. Don't quote me on that.
Okay,
I'm quoting her on that.
No, I'm looking at the IGN article. It's like Disney is the publisher of note on here. That makes sense because they developed the Lion King and the Genesis version of Aladdin. Separately, Capcom licensed Aladdin. Weird. The whole thing's strange.
I'm disappointed, but I'm still gonna buy it.
Yeah, the 90s were a very fascinating time for video game rights.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not buying that. So,
how dare you?
I do like the idea that there's what a rewind function, I believe.
And fast forward, like you just be like, I just want to go like past this level or whatever. Like you can fast forward to any spot in the game.
Yeah, yeah, there's like a level in Aladdin, that this one, and there's multiple levels in The Lion King. It's like
horrible.
It's just weird monkey level where the monkeys are throwing Simba across the screen, and you have to jump over giraffes and under shit. That level's terrible. Then there's a level in like a fiery cavern. I'm not even sure why. That certainly didn't happen in the movie. And then the final level with Scar is kind of a pain in the ass too. Basically what I'm saying is fuck The Lion King.
It's all terrible.
Wait, we're fucking The Lion King?
Well, don't actually fuck the lion.
Ew. But...
okay, Scar.
I want to throw The Lion King off the side of the gorge. That's what I'm saying. All right. Was there another remake piece of news?
Yes, there was. Capcom. I'm going to announce the Mega Man CX collection, which I will be honest with you, I'm not a ton familiar with, but it seemed like it was a kind of a handheld spinoff.
That's one I'm not familiar with at all. Jeff, you ever play the Mega Man ZX games?
I played Mega Man 1 through 6.
So the good one.
And then like 9 and 10. Yeah.
Well, X is good too.
Never played it. Never played anything else other than like the old NES ones, and then like the new ones that were like that. That's all I played. And I played, no, I'm sorry. On my Nintendo Classic or Super Nintendo Classic, I played Mega Man X like one level.
So I've heard they're good. I've never played them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about these games. I don't know how they play. But that's cool. Glad people are getting them.
I like, yeah, re-release everything.
People are stoked for it.
Yeah. I mean, those Mega Man collections that Capcom has been releasing, even though they've been like the Mega Man collection and Mega Man Collection 2, and then I think there were two X collections as well, right? But they're great, filled with awesome extras and you know, gameplay improvements, and they're nice. They're very nice collections. So I have no doubt this is going to be good.
And I think these are mostly handheld titles, so it's good that they're coming to console for more people to enjoy. And really, it kind of keeps Mega Man in the limelight because we've not really seen anything new from him since 11.
Right. And he was in Smash, right?
Yeah, which is still his highest profile outing, but right. You know, you got to keep it alive after Smash. He also got a gold amiibo, so there's that too.
Nice.
Yes. Speaking of amiibos, and this is me trying to transition, which I ruined by actually talking over it. We did get a Shovel Knight Presents, which is essentially a Nintendo Direct presented by somebody else. We got some updates on Shovel Knight King of Cards. I think that's what it's called. Which is a new expansion pack for Shovel Knight that comes out with a lot of other content in December of this year.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I think that the Shovel Knight brand has done a terrific job. I think this is also free for people who have the treasure box. They've done a terrific job of kind of really supporting this one game for 5 years by adding new content, new characters, and new stages. Like, I mean, it's not the same game. Like, they've done, it's not like you play through the same game over and over again. But the fact that it's really still kind of the core game, it's still the very same aesthetic and style of Shovel Knight. It's been impressive to see what they've done with it. I don't know if it's been added before, but this one also has like a multiplayer like Smash Brothers type mode and stuff like that. So there's, you know, there's single player content, but there's now also content for multiplayer and playing with friends. And that's really nifty. And like I said, if you own the treasure trove, which I think a lot of people do, it's free content. It's stuff you're getting that's a full new experience. But that aside, they also announced Shovel Knight game, which is Shovel Knight Dig, which looks very reminiscent of SteamWorld Dig, if you played that, which I find fascinating because it feels like they're going after SteamWorld Dig, but usually you don't think of indies going after indies.
Yeah. I think it'll be Shovel Knight, but like with those elements. Like I think it'll still be the game that you want. I think I saw the trailer too. I'm like, is it kind of more like a 16-bit art style?
I think it still looks very much like Shovel Knight. That could just be me though.
I mean, yeah, it looks, I don't know, it looks a little different to me, but I have to look at it again. But
I don't know. I'm looking at them. So it's definitely a little bit more clean. But that, yeah, it's possible. It's possible the new one is a little more like still pixelated, but more detailed. Even though Shovel Knight was pretty detailed, like.
I mean, it was like an impossible NES game. Like it looked like an NES game, but
like you could not do the amount of layering and stuff that you did in that game yet. Whereas when I'm looking at the screenshots, I'm looking at Dig. Like it is way more complex than even that, and the lines seem way smoother, like not quite as pixelated. So maybe they're going. It still looks like Shovel Knight, just like a little bit cleaner.
But yeah, like. The trailer definitely, and the name, like, definitely, like, makes it sound like it's going to be, like, a SteamWorld Dig game, but I think it will be, like, I mean, one, that's awesome, but two, I think it will still feel, like, very Shovel Knight-y, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think Shovel Knight's cool.
Yeah,
make a man with a shovel. Shovel
and also, Knight. I do have that treasure trove, so I get that DLC.
You'll get it anyhow, so that's, you know, win.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting, because I feel like he's probably the indie character these days. Aside from being in every other indie game, it feels like he's kind of the character that created this indie renaissance, and he's been everywhere. Like, he's cameled in so many different indie games, so I'm happy to see them continuing on with that brand.
Yeah.
What else do we have this week?
Yakuza
7 was announced, and a lot of people are surprised because it is traded in as combat for some turn-based RPG action.
Yeah, so what? I've never played a Yakuza game. But weren't they like GTA games with like action, like combat? Like it wasn't gunplay, but it was like hand to hand combat.
I mean, I think there's some gunplay in it as well. But yeah, it is. It is. I mean, I guess the better example would be Sleeping Dragon. Not Sleeping Dragon. Sleeping Dogs. Yes. But yes, it's very much kind of like that. It's an. I mean, it's a spiritual successor. It's a shimmy. So it's a very, yeah, it gets action oriented, and a lot of it is hand to hand combat, but a lot of it is also just kind of you going around different parts of Tokyo and Japan and interacting with people and playing games with them and seeing what you do with that. And I mean, some of that can still translate well to a turn based system. It's just like the actual core combat changes so much, but you know, they said, and which is fair, they're like, you know, we've done 7 games in this style, it's kind of getting boring for us, we want to try something new. And they're going out there and they're trying something new. If it fails, I assume they'll be brought back into the company, but Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yeah. So that's cool. Maybe someday I will try the Yakuza games.
Yeah, they seem interesting, but I just never get over that hump of actually starting one.
Yeah, there's so many. It's like, do I start with 7? I guess I should have started. Like, if I was going to, I should have started when they did those remakes of 1 and 2. Kiwami, I guess. I think I have one of them too. I think one of them was free on PlayStation Plus, which you don't have anymore, Tony. But
that's right. It's all gone.
Well, anyway, what else we got, Earl?
We got a new Resident Evil.
Oh yeah.
But we have, and this, I feel like Don should have been on for this one, because I feel like Don was one of those three anticipating Operation Raccoon City.
Yes, yeah. He was.
And this is kind of like, apparently Capcom teased that they were going to announce Resident Evil with the Resistance.
Yes.
And it kind of leaked ahead of time, so it seems like it's a 4-player co-op Resident Evil game. And, you know, they've done that stuff before with Outbreak and, of course, Operation Raccoon City. And this seems to be another one of those types of games. Which, of course, meant that the internet was super rational about it. And like, oh, you know, Capcom's going to try and experiment. And in no way did they freak out or anything like that.
No, not the internet.
Never. The internet's a great source of rational, calm conversation, and not people like, why are they wasting their time with this? This should be Resident Evil 3 remake.
I'm sure that's coming as well.
I'm sure that's coming too. I imagine it will probably be announced next year. Like, I think people sometimes look at the calendar and realize, like, you've just got Resident Evil 2 remake. Not even 9 months ago yet.
People are so impatient.
Like, yeah.
They consume stuff so fast that it's like getting what they want right away. All they do is complain.
Yes. The internet knows how to complain. But yeah, I am looking forward to this. Like I said on Twitter, though, like, I see the main character. He looks like Captain N to me. And it's very hard for me not to see that.
After you said that, when I saw it, yes, I can totally see where you're coming from.
I can say Captain N grew up, so.
Unfortunately, he did. Grew up and they're zombies.
Zombies. Which props are Mortal Resident Evil. Wow, okay. For keeping zombies
Mortal
alive.
Evil. Resident.
Because I'm almost certain that zombies are dead, no pun intended, in other mediums.
Ow. My soul hurts, Earl. My soul hurts now.
I don't believe that. I don't think you have one.
Damn it. He's found me out.
Jeff, any excitement for Resident Evil Resistance?
I didn't know anything about it till just now, and I don't know, I have to look at it.
Silence.
I'd have to look at it, but yeah, I don't know. I will say this though: I really, really enjoyed Resident Evil 2 a lot, but I have no idea about this. We'll see.
I don't know. It looks like you can play a girl with a yellow sweatshirt.
I like that.
A girl with
that's a very specific fetish, huh?
And the girls with yellow sweatshirts, they're cool. You play as Captain N, as Earl said.
The thing I do find fascinating about this, based off the character designs and stuff like that, is it does seem to be kids, which I don't think is something that Resident Evil has tackled before.
Yeah. This definitely seems like Resident Evil, the CW experiment.
I like that idea. That's cool. Like, I like that.
Like, they all look like high school kids or thereabouts.
I just don't, like, just based off what you guys are saying, I don't like the idea of a co-op Resident Evil, really. Like, it sounds...
But, I mean, co-op Resident Evil, I mean, aside from even the spin-offs, there's been 5, 6, and then the 2 Revelation games, which are co-op titles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at this point, co-op is more expected than not for the franchise. I mean, I guess 7 went back to not having co-op.
It could be fine. I think it could work.
I think co-op and horror is...
2 is great. I like being alone. I wouldn't like to like do a puzzle zombie type, like a puzzle zombie type game with someone else. I don't know. We'll see though. I'll probably buy it because it's Resident Evil. I'll probably buy it if it's any good. But
I'm sure Don will buy it. He'll play it with you.
Yeah, say like Operation Raccoon City.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Which I did play. I did get and played with Don like once or twice. And that was it.
I have that game. We could play it.
Probably because of Don. Is it backwards compatible on the Xbox One?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Because I think I got it digital, so I could download it. I would be okay with trying it out again. But while you look that up, the other thing that came out is we finally got details on Mario Kart. Even know if it has a name, but Mario Kart Mobile is out next month, September 25th. Got a trailer that kind of showed that it's bringing back certain, you know, different features for a mobile audience. So, like, it has the double dash feature where every character has a specialized weapon, and then you can unlock actual costumes for your characters. So, it's not just like personalized carts, they also have different costumes. I mean, it looks fine.
Yeah. I'll play it for a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of, and I guess it didn't happen because nobody mentioned it. I take it nobody downloaded Pokemon Masters?
No. Nope. I didn't even know it released until like shortly before we started recording.
I was going to download it, but so many people had issues with it that I was like, oh, I'll wait to see like what the weekend brings and then I'll check that out. And also, like I said, with Gears Pop, or I forget what game I said it with, but yeah, any mobile game that kind of needs a constant online connection, just not
makes it hard to play, yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Mario, I think you said that with.
Okay.
Makes sense with Gears Pop as well, since it's multiplayer focused, though, so you would need a connection there as well.
Yeah, I mean, Gears Pop kind of makes more sense because it's, like you said, it's people. Where Dr. Mario is a puzzle game. Don't necessarily need an online connection. So, yeah.
Dr. Mario's out?
Dr. Mario's been out for a few. You were on the show when we talked about it, weren't you?
It's out.
You're right. You're right. Is that like good? I mean, I know that you talked about it, but like it was.
I mean, it's fine. It's not Dr. Mario like if you expect.
Yeah.
Traditional. It's more of a it's closer to Bobble Bobble. Or whichever one where you match up like the different colors on top of the screen. Instead, and you move the pieces. Like, I think the big thing with Dr. Mario for me is that you actually move the pieces. You move the pieces with your hand, so it's not like, you know, like Tetris where it's really showy falling down and then it speeds up. It's like, no, you get to kind of move the pieces interface and depending on how you connect, they different go away and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Hmm.
It does not look like Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City is backwards compatible.
That's disappointing.
It was a 360 game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. World.
And so I'm missing some. The final piece of major, kind of major news, I guess, depending on who you are, is that the Mortal Kombat movie cast is coming together. So, right now, we don't know the plot of it, but so far, almost everybody that they've cast has been original members of Mortal Kombat. So we've gotten Liu Kang, Sub-Zero, Scorpion, Shao Tsung, Sonya, Jax.
Is Christopher Lambert coming back?
Christopher Lambert is not coming back.
That's shit.
I'm sorry.
I'm boycotting it.
You do what you think feels best. We will not judge you.
So is this going to be like a legit movie? As legit as the original?
I think this will be... I'm not going to say it's going to be better than the original. But I do think it will be legit. In the sense that I do think they're throwing actual money behind this.
And like actually try this time?
Yes.
Although it felt like they were trying the first time. Like when I was like a kid and saw Mortal Kombat in the theater, I was like, you know what? That's about as good as you can do with that, you know?
To be fair... I'm biased. I actually do enjoy them, but based off of what the actual first, I think at that point, Mortal Kombat 2 was out. Like based off of that, it does a really good job of capturing what the actual games are about.
Yeah, kind of. Like, I enjoyed it. I guess I was 13, I think, at the time. But yeah.
All right. That seems to be about it.
Do the Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat? They're dancing.
Mortal Kombat!
Oh, everybody, do the Mortal Kombat.
I don't know that dance, Earl. games are coming out. I will
games
be playing... Are- Games are out.
Games are
too.
Out. Yeah, I just
can I download the goddamn Blair Witch yet? Because that fucking thing was not available to install.
Yeah, I thought to say. I thought the Blair Witch came out yesterday. That should have been out. Like, I don't see any reviews for it.
That's encouraging.
No, I think it comes out tonight. But like, since it's a Game Pass game, usually you could like pre-install those and would not let me.
Oh, is it a Game Pass game?
Yes,
it is. Right, that's what I heard.
Yes.
But it was not available to, you know...
Pre-download.
Yeah. Like, you could pre-order the game accidentally if you wanted to, you know, very easily.
Wait, like, which game?
It doesn't tell you, like...
Blair Witch.
This is coming to Game Pass. Don't pre-order this. It's like, no, here, you drop $30 on this very easily.
Yeah, let's see. Blair Witch Game Pass does not say.
See? See what I'm saying?
It's sketchy. So they said Devil May Cry 5 went like on the 19th that it was like available then, and it took like a day for it to show up. So it may be a minute before it shows up.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not like Gears where I got that locked and loaded, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's a Microsoft game too, so they're gonna make sure you can get that. But so Blair Witch.
Hopefully, I'm not gonna pay for it since I know it's free.
Yeah,
that is a good philosophy.
Thank you.
Hopefully tomorrow. If not, then hopefully early next week. But so Blair Witch is out, Astral Chain is out, which we'll be playing.
Yes, I'm starting that right now, so I will be giving you impressions of that next week, hopefully.
I heard good things. Very good things.
Man of Medan will be out. I will be playing that.
I will be asking my friend for impressions as I pay for their copy.
And I'm sure there's some other stuff out there. Gears will be coming out as we record. So,
and I'm sure there's some indie games that we're forgetting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I don't think the game is out, but the Dark Crystals TV show on Netflix is out today.
Today, that should be out now, I believe. And it's getting pretty good reviews.
So I don't. I assume the game can't be too far off.
Right, there was that the
tactical RPG,
Final Fantasy Tactics looking thing. Shit, I forgot about that game. I was like, that was one of the things I was excited for out of E3. This is awesome. Dark Crystal is holding an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, TV shows are always so difficult, though.
Yeah. I'm be interested to watch that. In fact, I will start watching that tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a long weekend for everybody. So, I mean, for everybody except for Jeff. So, enjoy your long weekend. Enjoy the ass.
Man.
That stung a little bit.
I mean, it's not a lie.
It was so cheery too. It was like everybody enjoy your long weekend for Jeff.
Maybe you weren't so rank, Jeff. That's the problem.
Hey, guess who's not waking up for work tomorrow morning? I'm just saying. I know at least some of you all are.
I am not. It is my birthday, and I will. I am not going in.
Oh well, happy birthday.
I will be working at work, but nobody is going to be at my job. I pretty much did a. Maybe 15 minutes. I mean, I did like an hour of work today. We ordered a pizza that I didn't have to pay for, which is great.
That's always a good time.
Yeah. So, yes, I will be waking up for work and going in tomorrow, but I will not be doing much. But you know what I won't be doing, Jeff? I won't be waking up on Saturday for work. So,
or eating cheese spread. That's accurate.
You know what I'm doing right now? I'm eating some fucking cheese spread.
I mean, maybe I'll get some cheese spread tomorrow after work for Saturday, and I'll just have some in the morning because I'm not working.
While you're at work, Jeff, we'll review that for you. This is what cheese spread. It's okay.
So good. I just ate an entire, like half of one, so I had 7 servings. I ate 700 calories of cheese spread. It was fucking amazing.
You finished the rest of that container you showed us.
Yes.
That you're supposed to only have 1 ounce of in a sitting.
Rest in peace, Jeff. We're going to miss you.
That's a lot of cheese, Jeff.
How many men have truly lived?
I don't know.
A lot of everybody.
I'm Robert the Baratheon over here. Fucking like, yeah.
You see Robert the Baratheon?
All right. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
Robert the Baratheon.